do that in public in order to actually encourage others to go and to do charity things, do pay forth charity things.
Exactly. I just gave it as an example. It is recommended to do the charity sometimes in hidden in order to save your sincerity, ikhlas, toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
But as you mentioned, according to other verses of Noble Quran, you need to do it publicly, but always maintain the, you know, attention toward only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Very
because
true.
Charity is one of the worships. You can find a lot of many other public responsibility that we cannot be careless about that. Okay? Let me share one of the verses of Noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ Those people who have faith and righteous action, they are from among the best and noblest creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what does it mean, faith and having righteous action? Righteous action is not always in hidden, you know. You cannot hide your faith, you cannot keep it for yourself and to not to indicate it to other people. You know, even into your day-to-day action and interaction with other people, you find sometimes it is necessary for you to show it and to indicated that you to other people that I'm Muslim and I have, you know, maybe some differences with other people, okay? And to not to be shy about that, not to keep it only for yourself, okay? I want to say that just take pride.
Very true.
Of your faith, take pride of your personality and try to establish and to make your own personality.
Sheikh, in order to investigate about the roots of such, let's say, doubt or misconception, I'm asking you to, is there any recommendation to from Islamic resources to tell us that, okay, this case is the time to hide your beliefs and to hide your Islam? Is there anything that that we need to hide it? Is there any case, for example, like that of taqiyah or dissimulation? So we have been said, okay, in that special case, you need to dissimulate and to hide your beliefs and conceal your beliefs. Is it the time of dissimulation to do that at the moment or not?
Talking about the dissimulation and taqiyah, you know, it is only in some circumstances when you have the fear of yourself. You know, maybe some people that are going to kill you or to damage you. Okay, or they are going to steal your property and you have this severe damage, whether to yourself or to your property. In that time, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُتْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ Except those people who have forced to do that, okay, to hide their faith and their religion, while their heart is, you know, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have faith toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, taqiyah and dissimulation is not lie. Rather, it is kind of protection and it is rationally acceptable to protect your life and your property and to avoid any kind of severe infliction to your, you know, self and to your purpose.
So even in this case, it's the time that you need to save your life, not any other cases. So all in all, we want to reach this conclusion that hiding our Islam, hiding our beliefs is not something which is recommended. Rather, it's better to declare it and disclose it and to say openly that, okay, alhamdulillah, thanks to God, I am Muslim. Praise be to God, I am Muslim. And these are my beliefs. And in case we do right actions and righteous actions, we can be a good role model for others as a Muslim.
You know, I want to add to your point that self, you know, pride is very important. To take pride of your religion and your faith and not to feel humiliation. This is very important. Not to shy that I am Muslim and to want to hide your faith not to show it to other. And when your responsibility, public responsibility, requires you to do something in public, do it. Do not be afraid of anybody or anything else and only rely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And this openly actually claiming your Islam gives you and protects you. Why? Because as a Muslim, you are not allowed and you don't dare to do anything that looks indecent. So you need to be a Muslim and to do good actions, inshallah.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, and your respected listeners for staying tuned with Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. Till our next session, I'll leave you in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Yet again, London streets have been brought to a standstill by pro-Palestinian activists calling for an end to Israeli crimes against humanity in the occupied territories. Such events are building momentum, and the calls for the last apartheid on earth to be dismantled are growing louder.
Atrocities are committed in the occupied Palestinian territories on a daily basis, from ethnic cleansing to murder. And for decades, Western media has managed to downplay the severity of the situation. But now, with social media and so many cameras recording the madness, it's almost impossible to bury the truth.
Only days earlier, a prominent Palestinian journalist died when she was shot in the face by Israeli forces. She was reporting on an army raid in the West Bank. Her death caused outrage, and scenes of her coffin bearers being beaten by Israelis made headlines. 229 rights groups have called for Israel to be held accountable for what they call a premeditated assassination. At Saturday's protest, Shirin Abu Akleh's life and work was honoured.
I feel that we have the duty to come here and to do that and to speak out. For example, just Shirin the other day was murdered. And all the reports, the news channels, they're reporting it as clashes. Even in her funeral, the clips that I saw were disgusting. And still, again, the way that they are being reported is as clashes. Now, Germany, they wanted to hold a protest for the murdered journalist, but Germany was not allowing them to do so.
There is a trade relation between Britain and Israel, which includes arms sales. So this country, Britain, buys armaments from Israel, yeah, which are being announced as tested on Palestinian people. So people always think that Britain is arming Israel, but it is not a one-way street. Britain is also buying arms from Israeli arms companies. And there are Israeli arms companies who are operating in Britain as well. They're producing in Britain.
A raft of new measures limiting public protest were recently added to the already controversial policing bill, and it might also become illegal to boycott, divest and sanction entities like Israel, robbing public bodies of their right to make ethical decisions. It's the information age, and it remains to be seen how the UK hopes to maintain its democratic persona now that its grip on the media has loosened. Bianca Rahimi, London.
As higher oil prices mean more oil pumping, All of the big names of Iran's oil industry have assembled here to multiply the country's oil output amid rising crude prices. The 26th edition of the International Oil, Gas, Refining and Petrochemical Exhibition brought together 1,200 Iranian and 44 international firms active in upstream, midstream and downstream oil sectors.
We produce a range of medium pressure and high pressure cables, lead sheet head cables for use in petrochemical industries and oil and gas. We have been operating since 1992 and have been supplying our domestic oil firms with our cables, which otherwise would have to go through the process of importing from other countries amid the complications caused by the sanctions.
Our company has been running for 39 years in the production of more than 400 types of metal fasteners and holders from various materials such as iron, copper, aluminum, stainless steel and alloy, among others. We have worked with major foreign companies supplying them with insulation, pipe clamps, cold line shoes, and so on.
For decades, Iran has relied on drilling bits produced by the U.S. and China to pump its crude. But U.S. oil embargoes on Iran have made it almost impossible to import quality bits, among other oil exploration and production equipment. This has forced Iran to try its own know-how to build its needed machinery, including drilling bits. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
NATO critics say the alliance's expansion is what led to the war in Ukraine, and now moves are afoot to provoke Moscow even further. It looks almost certain that Finland, and most probably Sweden, are to join NATO. Via video link, senior Helsinki officials set out their case to the European Parliament on Thursday as to why Finland would fit right in.
Finland has many high-end capabilities, including a fighter jet fleet of F-80s, gradually to be replaced by recently ordered 64 F-35 jet fighters.
Sweden's Malin Björk asked what's the rush given that her country and Finland have said they don't feel under immediate threat. However, it seems most EU lawmakers are supportive.
We think that it is not only defining for Finnish security, but it's only an important step in European history.
Finland's border with Russia stretches for 1,300 kilometres. Membership would mean NATO's land border with the Federation would more than double. The Kremlin has warned there will be military retaliation if the plan goes ahead. Experts aren't ruling out the possibility of World War III.
This creates a major problem because when you change the architecture of security, of course, you create waves of reaction and perceived threats, which is the case for Russia now.
The US and its European allies are spending enormous amounts of money on arming Ukraine. One EU lawmaker criticized this during Thursday's proceedings.
We have a very powerful arms industry in the European Union, and many nations rely on arms exports. We should be doing all we can to prevent conflicts escalating instead.
Analysts say it could take up to a year for Finland to fully join NATO, but in the meantime, it will become a de facto member. The question is, in the event of escalation, will it be viewed as protected or as a target? Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Young people are those who most seriously bore the brunt for the COVID crisis in the European Union. A preliminary study carried out by European Cooperation Programme Specialised in Regional Analysis, or ESPON, has found youth unemployment across the EU went up by almost 22% with respect to pre-pandemic levels, with jobs going wasted in sectors affected the most by anti-COVID restrictions such as hotels, restaurants and retail business.
Things have changed for the worse during the pandemic, definitely. I work as a kitchen hand and I've only been offered casual employment over the past months.
The COVID health crisis has been an eye-opener for many young workers. Suddenly we found ourselves thrown into making a choice between badly paid, casual work and spending time at home doing nothing.
Food supply chain and tourism account together for about 35% of Italy's GDP. During the COVID crisis, hundreds of thousands of small and medium firms were forced to shut down, and a large number of young workers, the vast majority of whom under casual underpaid contracts, were left stranded.
The Italian youth unemployment rate has traditionally stood at worrying levels. For almost two decades, youth joblessness in Italy has been more than the double of the total EU average, reaching a whooping 45% in 2015.
Noi oggi misuriamo 20 anni di scelte politiche.
Today, young people bear the brunt for 20 years of political choices which have included austerity policies, hence jobs cuts and funding cuts to education services, and labour policies which have deregulated the labour market, introducing tens of casual working contracts, which have left the youth unprotected and unwilling to consider job opportunities in Italy.
The ESPON study has also found that over 60% of people aged 18 to 34 were at risk of depression in the EU in 2021, with the deterioration in mental health being particularly evident among those who had lost their occupation. Max Civili, Rome.
The Embassy of Palestine in the Russian Federation organized a ceremony to pay tribute for veteran Al Jazeera journalist Shirin Abu Akleh, who was killed by Israeli forces in Jenin on Wednesday. Her colleagues, fellow journalists and people gathered near the embassy to condemn the Israeli regime for what they called the heinous crime.
Shirin's a person I knew well. She was murdered in cold blood. This is a great loss, not only for Al Jazeera, but for the entire journalistic community. Shirin was very professional, famous, and her name was associated primarily with Palestine. She's long been a symbol for the Palestinian people who are seeking freedom and justice.
Abu Akleh's killing follows a long string of Israeli attacks on Palestinian journalists. According to the database of the Committee to Protect Journalists, 24 journalists have been killed in Israel and the Palestinian territories since 1992. While 14 people were caught in the crossfire, others appear to have been deliberate victims.
At least she made with me at least 5-6 interviews. Usually we saw her everywhere, the checkpoints, Jerusalem, in Gaza, in Jenin, in West Bank, everywhere. Where we need her, we find her, exactly. She's a very active journalist. And we are, as Palestinians, we never make a differentiation between Muslim and the Christian, never.
Journalists who were with Abu Akleh, including one who was shot and wounded, said Israeli forces fired upon them even though they were clearly identifiable as reporters.
The assassination of journalist Shirin Abu Akleh is another crime to be added to the criminal record of the Israeli regime, which for decades has been trying to silence the voice of truth and obliterate the Palestinian cause. Marina Kartonova, Moscow.
Sandwiched between the towering Alborz mountain range and the Caspian Sea, Iran's city of Sari has been a hot tourist target for its spectacular natural sceneries. This has won the city the title of the tourism capital of the ecoregion in 2022. The city has invited the country's officials and foreign ambassadors to celebrate the designation of the title.
There are several criteria. For example, it's of course the historical sites, the beautiful nature, and necessary existing necessary infrastructure for tourism. So all these criteria in general can contribute for the selecting and announcing the particular city or particular place in eco region as a eco capital.
Iran is among the top 10 countries in the world when it comes to tourism. We have a wide range of capacities from ecotourism to historical tourism and especially marine tourism. Our country has a 5,400-kilometer long coastline, which potentially makes it a hot destination for sea tourism. Now it's time to use our resources and strengthen the infrastructure such as accommodation to boost our tourism industry.
The Economic Cooperation Organization, or shortly ECO, is an Asian political and economic intergovernmental entity with 10 member states, including Iran, Turkey, and Pakistan. Sari was selected as the tourism capital of ECO during the third ECO ministerial meeting on tourism, held in October 2019 in Tajikistan. The Tajik capital, Dushanbe, was earlier named the tourism capital of ECO for the year 2021. And Iran's northwestern city of Ardabil will succeed Sari as the 2023 capital of the ecoregion. Officials say the initiative opens up new opportunities for investment in the designated city, which will help boost the tourism infrastructure.
I can say that many countries in ecoregion are taking steps towards the facilitation of the issuing visas for the citizens of eco member states. And so, of course, the facilitation or removing the visas, it's is important factor in increasing the number of touristic arrivals. Could contribute in the development of touristic sector in ecoregion.
From the Caspian Hyrcanian mixed forests to marshlands, wildlife refuge, and an amazing beach, the mesmerizing and diverse nature of Sari indeed deserves to be titled the tourism capital of Eco. The organization says it will continue the initiative and will name new cities as tourism capitals each year to boost cooperation between tourism entities of the member states. With its eye-catching landscapes and mesmerizing nature, Sari has already been a tourist magnet for mainly Iranian travelers. And now with its designation as the tourism capital of the ecoregion, the city should expect a larger number of foreign tourists to visit the city and enjoy its attractions. Yusuf Jalali, Sari.
On Wednesday morning, Palestinians woke up to the tragic news of the brutal killing of Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh in the Jenin refugee camp. Abu Akleh was killed after being shot in the head while covering Israeli army raids in the northern occupied West Bank. Her killing drew angry reactions and condemnations in Palestine and around the world. Palestinian resistance groups, including Hamas and the Islamic Jihad, condemned in the strongest terms Israel's killing of the Palestinian journalist.
The Zionist enemy killed Shireen in cold blood in another example of their brutality against Palestinians. Killing her exposes the violent and criminal nature of the Zionist regime. We condemn this brutal crime and we demand that the Zionist regime and its leaders be brought to justice for their crimes.
Shireen Abu Akleh's extrajudicial killing is further evidence of a trend by Israeli regime forces to systematically attack journalists. During the 11-day war in 2021, Israeli warplanes bombed several buildings in Gaza, housing media companies and news channels.
The Zionist regime attacks journalists in order to silence them and to hide the truth. By targeting Palestinian journalists, the Zionist regime wants to terrorize us and stop us from exposing its war crimes to the world. The Zionist regime doesn't want us to show its ugly face.
Statistics show that Israeli regime forces have killed some 50 Palestinian journalists during the last 22 years. During the Great March of Return, Israeli snipers shot and killed two Gazan journalists and injured dozens more.
This is not the first time Israeli armed forces has targeted Palestinian journalists. They have targeted a number of them during the Great March of Return in 2018. And this is also another addition to Israeli illegal practices against Palestinian journalists by killing Shireen Abu Akleh, one of the most famous journalists in the Palestinian territories. Israel is trying to kill the truth.
Experts say Israeli forces will continue with their violations against journalists as long as the international community keeps turning a blind eye. Israeli forces have been increasingly attacking journalists in recent years. Palestinian journalists risk their lives on a daily basis to cover the news and expose the brutality of the Israeli regime. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
With every candle symbolizing the path she lit, activists and journalists gathered in front of the Embassy of Palestine in Tehran, not just to condemn her killing by an Israeli sniper, but to show the world that Shireen Abu Akleh's footsteps will be followed. Al Jazeera's 51-year-old journalist was targeted on assignment while wearing a press jacket that made it easy for her to be identified as a journalist.
The policies of our Zionist enemies has always been clear. They are against anyone who unveils the reality on the ground. The killing of a well-known journalist like Shireen shows that they obviously don't want the world to know the truth about Palestine.
We lost a dear colleague who was killed on assignment. This is a sad day for journalists all over the world. What makes it even more tragic is that she was not even in a war zone. This proves that freedom of speech and human rights means nothing to the Zionist regime.
The Palestinian journalist was also a citizen of the United States, and many are now asking why the U.S. is silent about what they can only describe as blatant murder. Shirin was a veteran journalist and very well known, too. Obviously, the Israeli regime does not want the world to know about its crimes, and that's why they silenced her.
Well, this shows the cruelty of the Israeli regime. As you can see, if we see such an act in other countries, we may face with a strong reaction by the Western governments and also Western media. But today, inside occupied Palestine, we have seen one of the most cruel scenes that could be possible. An Israeli soldier attacked a journalist and killed him in front of the camera. And this shows that, unfortunately, by the double standards of the Western governments and also Western medias, Israeli governments can continue to kill and assassinate everyone. And this is completely against the freedom of speech and the freedom of the Palestinian people.
Shireen Abu Akleh was covering the Israeli forces' raid on the Jenin refugee camp in the occupied West Bank on Wednesday. The veteran television correspondent was a household name across the Arab world for her bold coverage of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
The tragic event has sparked outrage in Iran as well as other parts of the world. Those who have gathered in front of the Palestinian embassy in Tehran are calling for impunity for Israel to end. Gisumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
Following the killing of Palestinian journalist Shirin Abu Akleh, Yemeni journalists have gathered in front of the Palestinian embassy in Sana'a to denounce Israeli crimes against Palestinian journalists and media activists.
The Yemeni Journalists Union condemns what has happened to Shirin Abu Akleh and her colleague. They were directly targeted by Israeli forces while wearing a press vest to ensure protection in the areas of conflict based on international conventions. Her killing is a flagrant violation of international law. We call on all media activists around the world to express solidarity with Abu Akleh and other colleagues in Palestine.
The Yemeni media activists denounced in the strongest terms the targeted killing of Abu Akleh by Israeli forces as she was covering an Israeli raid in the occupied West Bank.
The news of the martyrdom of Shirin was shocking. And the whole world is shocked because she was a powerful and influential figure and was able to represent a strong voice. The killing of Shirin is a turning point and the beginning of a new phase. And her blood will have a significant impact, God willing, in pushing the free people to move against the Zionist project.
Abu Akleh was a veteran Palestinian journalist for the Qatar-based Al Jazeera television news network. She was hit by a live bullet while covering an Israeli raid in the city of Jenin while wearing a press vest.
Yemeni journalists say Shirin Abu Akleh will always remain a symbol of courage for all the free journalists around the world who stand against oppression, whatever it takes. They say Abu Akleh's killing is a blatant violation of international law on the protection of journalists. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Good Neighbors. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of having good neighbors. When we look at the Islamic teachings, we see that Islamic teachings or the Islamic text emphasizes on having a good neighbor and being a good neighbor. Now, when we look at the narrations, there are two types of narrations. The first type of narration about the neighbors talk about choosing a house in a place where you can practice easily, where your neighbors are good, where they are also following the teachings of Islam and they're practicing Islam, so that when you kids are raising up, they also can easily basically practice Islam. On the other hand, there are the other category of the narrations that we have is that the neighbor themselves are the means of peace in the life of a person. And according to these narrations, it is said that we should choose a place to live. Maybe we are renting a place, maybe we are buying a place to live. And if we rent a place where the people are good, where they are dealing with people ethically, they take care of their neighbors, then obviously a person who has chosen this place to live, he will have a peaceful life. He will not have any tensions or, you know, he will not have to take care of the neighbors a lot. Because when the neighbors are taking care of you, you also in return take care of them. But obviously there is no troubles between you and the neighbors. So therefore, this will bring a peace in my life, at least in relation to those who are living in my surroundings. And therefore, I can spend a peaceful night in my house. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of having a good neighbors in the Islamic lifestyle. And according to things that we have described, we said that having good neighbors brings peace in the life of the man. Now, we have a narration in which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the thing that will break the back of a person, that will bring the trouble in the life of a man, one of those things is having a bad neighbor. You know, when we have a bad neighbor, a person who does not have ethics, who always fights, who always, you know, he's outside there, and because of whom our kids cannot freely, you know, go out. And even we cannot have guests because of them, for example, maybe. These kind of people, when they are surrounding you, it's a big hassle. And obviously, it takes away the peace from the life of a person. It takes away the peace that we need to have from our life. And obviously, the place where we are living, it becomes a hell for us. And this is the apparent thing. It's according to the material life that the Ahlul Bayt are talking. But on the other hand, if any person who is in neighborhood, or maybe if we are living in the neighbor of the others, if we do not take care of the rights of the people, there are other consequences which are waiting for us. And that is related to hereafter, that if a person is not good with his neighbors, then obviously he has a consequences which he needs to face in this world and also in hereafter, because the rights of the neighbors have come in the Quran directly, and we need to be good with our neighbors, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Talk about hypocrisy. Talk about a corrupt political system, said Senator Bernie Sanders, adding, and that is why Summer and so many of us are going to do everything that we can to put these super PACs out of business. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Jake Johnson, journalist. This article is published under the heading Rallying for Summer Lee, Sanders Rips AIPAC for Trying to Buy Elections. Stay tuned for more. During a rally in support of U.S. House candidate Summer Lee recently, Senator Bernie Sanders called out super PACs bankrolled by the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, and billionaire donors for spending big to crush progressives in Pennsylvania and elsewhere across the country, efforts that the Vermont senator decried as pathetic and corrosive to democracy. If they are successful, they will carry this into November, Sanders warned at the event in Pittsburgh, which was held days before the May 17th Democratic primary in Pennsylvania's 12th congressional district. They have billions of dollars at their disposal. Sanders added, "We need a strong progressive like Summer in the Congress. But honestly, it is even more important that we tell these billionaires that we will not allow them to buy elections and control this democracy." In recent weeks, the United Democracy Project, UDP, a super PAC that AIPAC founded late last year, has spent more than $2 million attacking Lee or boosting her primary opponent, Steve Irvine, a corporate lawyer and former Republican congressional staffer. Billionaire Haim Saban, a longtime AIPAC supporter, is UDP's biggest individual donor. Democratic Majority for Israel, a super PAC with close ties to AIPAC, has also been spending in support of Irvine, fresh off its success in Ohio's 11th congressional district, where the group helped defeat progressive champion Nina Turner earlier this month. Sanders recently said, "These ads paid by AIPAC are attacking Summer because she's not a loyal enough Democrat," referring to a recent 30-second spot by UDP highlighting Lee's past criticism of the Democratic Party, adding,
But what you should know is that this organization is funding over 100 Republican candidates. So here you have a super PAC saying she is not a loyal Democrat, while they're endorsing over 100 Republicans, including many who even refuse to acknowledge that Joe Biden won the election, the Vermont senator continued. Talk about hypocrisy. Talk about a corrupt political system. And that is why Summer and so many of us are going to do everything that we can to put these super PACs out of business by overturning Citizens United, unquote. Lee, too, slammed the special interests that are pouring money into Pennsylvania's 12th district in an attempt to undermine her campaign, which includes a platform of Medicare for All, a Green New Deal, and tuition-free public colleges and universities. When people attack you or when you come for you, you must be doing something right. Lee, a current member of the Pennsylvania State House, said in a speech to the crowd of supporters gathered in Pittsburgh recently, adding, "But I want to be clear in this moment, it's not me they're attacking. They're worried about you. If they were in this room right now, they would not be able to stare us in the eyes. If you're somebody in this country who cares about people, why would you want to stand in the way of healthcare for everybody?" Lee continued. "If you care about this country and you care about our party the way they say, why would they stand in the way of clean air and water? How dare they get in the way of us fighting for every worker to have a living wage and a union and paid sick and family leave," unquote.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islamite. Islamite. Allah my Lord. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and other life forms. And this is Youth Station. Thank you so very much for joining us. I am Zainab. She is Zainab. Everyone's Zainab. Assalamu alaikum.
How are you?
Thank you, Sister Zainab. Thank you so very much for joining me.
I'm always glad to join you.
Not that she had a choice. She's been blackmailed to be here.
No, not at all.
Her family's held captive somewhere, and we said you have to come do the show with us or else.
I love Youth Station.
There's been this trending, this discussion lately that our youth are losing their innocence too early. Or that the direction the world is heading toward is causing humanity to lose its innocence more.
Yeah.
And that the age of innocence, quote unquote, is somewhat lost.
Exactly.
Society is so corrupted now, more corrupted than it ever was. And our youth and we ourselves. First of all, let's define the term innocence, I think. Let's start off with that. What do you think innocence means?
I think the innocence, the way, the direction you gave it to it. Innocence has many definitions. Mm. But I think the one you were talking about this right now was innocence is sometimes being not guilty of something like you're not doing some unlawful act, but sometimes innocence is not being aware of a lot of things that... The way you said that youth today is aware of a lot of things that maybe the youth some 10 years ago was
weren't
not...
Weren't exposed to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So this exposure to information is taking away the age of innocence. Innocence, I guess, is, yes, not being exposed to many things. In one way.
Being exposed to, like, a lot of the violence. On one hand, I think it's because of, you know, the age of it. We're living in the age of technology.
True.
And everything is just up in your face. There's, like, there's no avoiding it at all.
Yeah.
Unless you live in, like, on top of a hill in a cottage somewhere with no electricity, plumbing, or Wi-Fi. It's like a regular thing a lot in a lot of societies now, especially more Western societies. Well, not necessarily, a lot of Asian societies as well. I would even venture as far as to say like non-Islamic societies.
True.
But then again, there's a problem with that. That sort of society, the more Islamic conservative society as well, because certain topics become so taboo that there isn't enough space, safe space to discuss them and raise more awareness, understanding, and mindfulness for people regarding the truths of life. You got to face it anyway. You know?
Yeah.
How long are you going to make it taboo? But there's this also this sort of approach people have toward the topic of innocence. For me, it's still such a very, it's still a very vague, very ambiguous thing. I still can't necessarily understand it. It's a notion that I can only connect to children.
Today. Yes.
And in any time. I feel like it's only cool for you to be innocent until a certain age.
Well, I like that exposure. I don't think necessarily with children. I think with other age groups as well. I think when I see the youth today, when I see...
What do you consider as youth?
Say from the early teens to the late 20s, when I see this age group.
Seriously? That's what you consider as youth?
I consider it.
I'd say mid-40 is still young.
Well,
I mean, yeah, you're not as volatile as you were when you were 14.
Well, those are elders.
But then, like, yeah, okay, that's, like, roughly middle-aged, maybe. I don't know. Age is another ambiguous topic that I can't wrap my brain around, but that's for another day. So, you were saying?
Yeah. I was saying that when I see, for example, if I see a 20-year-old today, say, uploading some stuff on the social media platforms, and... I see myself in that age, or I see my classmates or my batchmates in that age, we literally were not aware of those things. We literally were...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. That's why I'm saying that innocence is something that I can...
Lost now.
That I can only...
Connect to children,
to children. Up to a certain age... You're allowed to be innocent. In fact, you're even safer if you are innocenter, if you're not so overly exposed to a lot of information. But after a certain age, information is just information.
True.
Knowledge is just knowledge. Go get it.
Yeah.
Go get all of it. You know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it basically, in fact, I feel that from a certain age onwards, we need to expose them to as much information knowledge as possible because it creates the groundworks and the foundation of who they're going to be in the future.
All right.
And demanding them or asking them or training them to shy away from so many topics is not going to help anyone.
But
right?
Do you think today that when you get aware of something, you wish I never knew this?
So I don't read the news, and I'm pretty sure news the audience of news is never meant to be a 6-year-old either. I'm pretty sure someone in my age group is the intended audience for news, but I never read it, or I never listen to it, I never follow it, I never watch it, because I feel like, well, there's nothing I can do about this so-and-so situation that's going on in the other corner of the world.
But you don't feel like being updated.
No, I don't want to be updated about how many people are being killed.
All right.
No.
It's not all about killing.
I mean,
sometimes
the thing with news is that it never has good news to tell you. And that's why it sucks.
I think you should change your channel then.
You guys are listening to Youth Station here on IRB English Radio. We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
Music. This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
We still haven't established the meaning of innocence.
True, I think,
I mean, I'm so sorry, but let me just... You defined it as lack of exposure.
Yeah.
Right?
Or being innocence. Being unaware to certain things.
Yeah, and being unaware of certain things because ignorance is just bliss.
True.
Right? The less you know, the less you hate
life. The more you are in your own world.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I meant by you're only allowed the privilege of that sort of innocence till a certain age.
Till a certain age, yeah.
Right? Also, innocence could mean... In some way, it could mean like being a goody two-shoes, not being guilty of sin or mistake. Yeah. And I think that, again, just that it has an expiry date.
Or like if certain countries are at war, like we have.
Mm. Is anyone innocent, really? I don't think so. We're all guilty of something.
Really, the people in war getting killed, the civilians getting killed, I think they're innocent people getting killed. They are. We do have innocent people around, and especially in these wars. For example, I recently saw a clip from Yemen. In that clip, I saw a kid getting killed. Mm. The kid was innocent. He had nothing to do with the war.
He was not guilty of anything that would justify taking his life away.
Yeah.
That's what innocent means in this context.
True.
So I think, again, innocence is sort of relative. It has a spectrum.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's a broad...
It's a definitely... And depending on the situation...
Depending on the situation, you can't
take out
the
meaning.
Like,
when it comes to the murder trial of John Lennon, I'm totally innocent. I wasn't even born when John Lennon was shot, right? The climate, I'm not very innocent in regard to the climate changing.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
And also, there's a spectrum in the topic of climate change as well. Mm-hmm. Some people are super duper innocent, and some people are super duper guilty.
True.
I think I'm somewhere toward the innocent.
All right.
Right, because I don't even own a car because I'm so anxious about.
So not owning things makes you innocent, right?
Right?
Not owning things makes you innocent.
Not owning things that would harm the environment would make me innocent in this
All
area.
Right. Not harming the
in
environment.
In this area, right? In this right. specific area.
Mm-hmm.
Not being born when John Lennon was shot makes me innocent in that area.
True. Completely a situation dependent thing.
Absolutely. Though no one is absolutely innocent unless they're a child. I was a pain in the neck as a child. Still am, but you know, I express it less now. I was more honest in my annoyingness when I was a kid. There's also this thing that people are under the perception, I'm more innocent than others.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean, who really? Are you to judge if other people are less innocent than you?
At least we have. At least at some point of time, our opinions do not clash. Yeah.
Right? There's no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because who are you to judge if other people are less innocent than you?
True. And you don't know each and every part of other person.
Exactly. It could just come back into that situation thing. True. You might be more innocent in this situation. They could be more innocent in another situation.
And yeah, you know, since we're talking about innocence, you reminded me of something very important. Like, I have seen people committing sins directly, like openly.
Mm.
And then... when you ask them.
Confront them, yeah.
Yeah. What's happening, man? And they say, like, I'll tell Allah tomorrow on the Day of Judgment that I was innocent to this thing I never knew, that you ordered us, you know, innocent towards the commands of Allah.
Mm. Innocent again, it's not that ignorance is bliss situation.
Exactly.
You can't feign ignorance.
I think so, yeah. Because I think sometimes it's being, like you said, like, can we say I am innocent? So I don't think you can
no
say
one
we're
is completely
because,
innocent.
Because, you know, the same Book of Commandments is going telling you to go and do research, to read, to contemplate things, to get aware about the things. So, yeah. Not
See,
being...
sometimes you've got compound ignorance. You don't know that you're ignorant. You're ignorant toward your ignorance.
Exactly.
And that's one thing.
That's the
right? It's, again, peak it goes of innocence. Back, yeah, it goes back to, it's the same thing with, again, you got to be living on a mountaintop somewhere in a hut with no plumbing or electricity or Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Not to know some things are going on in life.
True.
And even in that situation, I feel like anyone who searches for any form of meaning in life, mm-hmm. any truth in life,
mm-hmm.
will realize that you got to have a principle. And then when you've got principle, you've got a principle, you've got values. When you've got values, you've got responsibilities. When you've got responsibilities, then there's going to be accountability. And then, you know, you got to answer to someone. It's either exactly. your conscience or God or universe or, I don't know, Yoda, whatever you
want to call it. You are accountable.
Exactly. And when that happens, you're not that innocent anymore.
True.
So it's okay, you guys. As long as you don't hurt other people and yourself, you're good. You're not that innocent, but you're good. It's fine. It's totally fine not to be completely innocent. Don't hurt people. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Youth Station. Thank you for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. My Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance. When I need you, the light, when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.